Jones and Keefe right now on WEEI.
Keefe, you ready for some excuses?
I'm ready. I'm always ready for some excuses. I usually have plenty myself.
Need them lined up.
You got to have some ready in the holster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why'd you forget to pick up the kid?
Because I was picking up the other kid.
I'm so busy. Yeah. I got so much on my plate.
Uh-huh.
Well, what was I supposed to
do? Remember the time I took the trash out 2 weeks ago? I ain't gonna thank you for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really impressive.
Remember that one time I did the dishes?
Remember?
Yeah, it's weighing on me.
It's tough.
So, that was some interesting excuse making. A neat little trick from Gerard Mayo yesterday. Because we need to blame somebody for the Patriots being a 3-win team, and they look like an absolute mess. And fortunately for the Patriots, there's a lot of blame to go around. Pretty much everyone not named Drake May.
Yeah.
I think you can dole out your fair share of the blame. We can nitpick May here and there. I'll be sure to do it. But I don't have him anywhere near the top of the list when it comes to problems on this team. He's about the only thing you have going for it. And I've noticed on Sundays, Keith Mayo is taking the brunt of it when it comes to criticism of this team, and I just think the dissatisfaction with this team.
That's pretty wild. I mean, I know Twitter, for example, is more negative than anything else.
Yes.
But every game day, Gerard Mayo is trending, and oftentimes, fire Gerard Mayo is trending.
Yeah,
that is just sort of the knee-jerk reaction to everybody during the games.
I get more tweets with hashtag 100%. Fire Mayo or, like, mentioning Fire Mayo in that, just unprompted.
His
on
approval
Sundays.
Rating is never lower than Sunday.
It's quite low.
People see it. People see the game, and no matter what is going on, if the defense, especially the defense, is struggling, right? Like, he takes a lot of lumps for that. But even if anything, there's so many decisions, so many things that don't go their way. People are mad about Mayo, and then he usually doesn't help himself in the postgame, right? So then if you stick around and you watch the postgame press conferences and you hear some of the things that he says, and then now that we've been doing it for months, you know there's a decent chance on Monday he might walk it back, or he might change how he says. And then, you know, by the time Wednesday's press conference rolls around for get ready for the next week, he might say something else. But yeah, and people are overall not fans. And I think it also has a lot to do with nobody really wanted him to begin with. It's not like a guy that had a ton of, like, shine to begin with. And then as the season and as the losses have piled up, people have turned on him. I don't think they were ever really on his side to begin with.
No, I'm with you 100% on that. And look, I think there's still a lot of Bill people out there. We'll get to Belichick.
Yeah.
Who ripped the Patriots pretty good last night on the Let's Go podcast.
He torched them.
You know, he had been lying there silently for a little bit, but Bill's back. Ripping the Patriots in predictable fashion. So we'll get to that today on Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. It's, I guess, kind of a Patriots Friday on a Tuesday. It's the bye week.
It's very confusing.
So we're talking to Dietrich Wise today.
Good.
We're supposed to talk to Alex Van Pelt. We have been told we were talking to Alex Van Pelt. I guess that's not happening.
I really wanted, I'm being serious, I wanted to talk to Alex Van Pelt. I had a lot of questions ready to go for Alex Van Pelt today.
Well, I think a lot of us do, quite frankly.
First of all, how dare you?
Yeah, but
what gives you the right?
Apparently that is not happening. I thought this was an agreed to thing that we had with the team. Hmm. I guess that's not happening.
Okay.
So a lot of ways you can interact with the show today on a busy, busy Jones and Keith, 617-779-7937. You can text the show at 37937 on Twitter and Instagram. At Jones and Keefe. Watch along and chat twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. I always love that chat there. Good stuff there.
Yep.
And on YouTube, you can subscribe to WEEI. It is a Tier Tuesday, Keefe.
Sure is.
We'll tear off some NFL teams. It is a Tom E. Tuesday. Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston. We got Keefe for Madness, 12:45.
You bet your bottom dollar.
Was this a listener submission? I actually meant to double check. Was it a listener submission?
Oh, no.
Today?
This one actually, you know, we did get a listener submission. Maybe we'll do that one tomorrow.
Well,
this is a different one because this one is more time sensitive. It's got more to do with, like, Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
I want to
do
that one today.
Well, I know people love the crowdsource questions so much to Christian Gonzalez.
Yep. Or the grab bag stingers.
Yes,
Kiefer Madni. If you have Kiefer Madni, Keefe@weei.com.
This is what I wanted to say.
Yeah.
I wanted to prompt the people that if you ever see a good story or something you might think fits as a Kiefer Madni.
Send
that right in at Keefe or Keefe at WEEI. And, I buried the lead. It's also a
D'Angelo! A little pep in the step today, boys.
Yeah, a little lunch here on Jones and Keefe. You need a lunch spot today? Stop by at D'Angelo.
Come on.
We'll get to your feedback on this. Gerard Mayo. We're 2-5 in one score games. We have seven one-score games.
Right.
That's the NFL.
That is the NFL.
You just said he constantly just puts his foot in his mouth and has to walk stuff back.
Yeah.
That's another one where he, like, realizes it as he's saying it. That's the NFL, though, but one-score games. Yeah, but that's the NFL, but one-score games. What are you trying to say?
So I don't know.
I think what he's trying to say is we're better than our record indicates. That's what I think.
I think the
crux of what he's trying to say is, yeah, we're a three-win team, but
yeah,
these one-score games go differently. We're, what, a five-win team? Like, what are you?
So I'm not – yeah, so I wonder what his angle is here, and maybe everybody that hears that has their own interpretation of it. I look at it where maybe he's suggesting, because we know he's kind of buried the roster, right? Like, the roster is what it is, or it's the hand we've been dealt, or, like, you know, he says a lot of things. The other day he's like, well, we got a good quarterback, and, like, we got to figure out everything else. So is he trying to pat himself on the back for playing so many close games with a bad roster?
I don't know.
Because I don't think it, but then he is right. The NFL is all about parity. There are a lot of close games, or a lot of upsets. Even the most lopsided games possible going into a game, what's the spread? 10?
The biggest spread this year was 2 touchdowns, the Lions and the Jaguars.
Yeah.
And they covered by a million miles, but I think it was 14 points.
And legit, so that's a great example. That's the best team in the league and the worst team in the league. And it was 14 points. So every other game is separated, I would say 6 or under. Or what? Actually, let's just do this. 1 score or less are what, I don't know, 80% of the spreads, 90% of the spreads are, it feels like every week.
Yeah.
So it is the NFL. So you've only played half the games have been close, and then you're 2-5 in those games. And I look at both basketball and football, more so football when it comes to, like, the impact of the coaching. But if you're losing a lot of close games, I say, well, maybe the coach makes a difference there.
Yeah,
maybe the coach is the swing. Maybe the good coach. Maybe that's what separates the team. Because a lot of teams play close games, but there's a big difference at the end of the year when one team is 6-11 and one team's 11-6. Like, you won. Oh, we won the close games. Like, right? Because you executed at the end of games. You made the right decisions in these fourth quarters. You know, and you didn't have dumb penalties late in games, or, you know, you didn't have just stupid decisions made by the coaches. So in a weird way, the way he said it, I thought he was trying to take credit for 7 close games and then even pointing out, hey, we are 2-5 in close games. So, like, it's not, oh, a bounce of a ball and we're 5-2. It's like, oh, maybe if you're a better coach, you're 5-2, you know, or whatever, 4-3 or whatever, however you want to slice it up. So, I don't look at that as a good sign for Mayo. I don't think Robert Kraft and Jonathan Kraft at the end of the year would be like, they did play a bunch of close ones.
Yeah.
Like, that's not how it works.
And we had a bunch of questionable coaching decisions in those losses, and it should put a microscope right back on him.
Yeah.
So I'm with you, Keith. The idea that, oh, we're in all these games and that's a good thing. Yeah, but you're losing them all. Just about. I mean, you're 2-5 in those 7-1 score games, as he highlighted in his own answer yesterday. That puts the spotlight back on Jerod Mayo, and that puts the questionable coaching decisions under a microscope, because you're, I think, in this spot largely because of talent and a lack of talent.
Yeah.
But losing all these games, there's a common thread with the poor coaching.
So they're 2-5 in close games and they're 1-5 in blowouts.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they can lose you a game either way.
Yeah. No, they're pretty good at losing regardless of the situation. So, like, what do you think? Are there any results you would flip-flop, Keith? Like, 16-10 against Cincinnati. That's a 1-score game. Are we taking that away from the Patriots, or are we giving them that win?
No, I'm going to give them the win.
I would likewise give them that win.
I'd give
that
them
felt
the
pretty
win.
Dominant.
Yeah.
Would you give them the Seattle game, 23-20? That's a 1-score game that went to overtime?
Yeah. I feel like they're... I mean, that was one where, I don't know, maybe Drake May wins that game. Like, I don't think Jacoby Brissett played great. Remember, that was one, you know, some people would say, oh, he played fine. He played good enough to win. He took a sack that knocked him out of field goal range, you know, going all the way back to that one. So, that one, I mean, they lost that game, though. You know, I would say that's still
not
a
flipping
loss.
The result.
I'm not going to flip.
How about the ugly Miami game, 15-10? That was still Brissett. If you recall,
yeah,
Jalen Polk, if he can keep his feet in bounds, he might win that game.
Yeah, there you go.
You want to flip that one?
Sure.
Oh, you do? Okay, good.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, like, they ultimately lost. Like, they have bad players, too. So, like, I do put it on the coaches. Coaches need to coach them up. But they're also a bit behind the eight ball. Like, hey, Alex Van Pelt, how come Kayshon Booty's not like a 1,000-yard receiver? He's going to look at you and be like, What the hell? What do you
so
think?
So let's be charitable and give him that one. Do you want to take away the Jets win, 25-22? Jacoby Brissett marched them down the field. Or do you want to leave that one?
Let's give him that win. Okay. That's a good win.
Let's give it to him. How about Tennessee, 20-17? Should they have won that? That's another overtime loss.
They should have won that.
Okay. Let's give them that one.
They should have won that.
Were they have any real chance that the Rams win?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I don't think that
was kind of like a fake one score game.
Yeah.
To me, like a backdoor cover.
Yeah. No, that one I feel like they lost.
And then,
lost that game. Then
maybe Indianapolis. You want to give them Indianapolis? Even if you do, here's my point.
Sure.
Even if you do, I mean they're a 6-win team.
That does look a lot better, though.
It looks a lot better, but we're giving them 3 wins that they didn't earn.
But you're right. That's also not how it works.
Correct.
Right? Like, teams lose close games. We don't win every single close game.
But, swing it from 2-5 to 5-2 in those one-score games. You're still a losing team.
Oh, yeah.
And you're still way over your head talent-wise, and you're the reason you lost a bunch of those games. I'm not going to put the Miami loss, if we flip it, on the coaching, to my recollection. I mean, you want to say they weren't playing Drake May. Maybe that's a reason to look at them.
Yeah, sure.
But Jalen Polk, keep your feet in bounds. But those other games, I mean, Tennessee, I think they lost in part because they weren't aggressive and the coaching was miserable in that game. I'd say the same thing about yesterday or Sunday. Rather.
Out of all of them, I think if you're looking back on it, isn't the one. So if you're somebody that bet the 4.5, or if you're Jerod Mayo that guaranteed over 4 wins, isn't the Tennessee game the one that you look at the most and be like, man, what were we thinking?
I mean,
Why couldn't we just run a 2-point conversion and
win that game? I would say Sunday is neck and neck with that,
but I would
lean Tennessee. Yeah.
Well, Tennessee is one decision, one play. You execute 2 yards, you win the game. Sunday was, all right, we have to stop Anthony Richardson from moving the ball down 80 yards and then scoring a 2-point conversion. And we need to stop one of the 3 fourth-down conversions. And you couldn't do it. Right? So that was sort of the offense. Yeah, the offense left points on the board, but they scored enough. They should have been able to win the game, whereas the other one, to me, comes down to a coaching decision.
So Jerod Mayo wants to talk about one-score games.
Yeah.
He's the one who brought it up. Hey, we're 2-5 in one-score games. I mean, that's the NFL.
I feel like that's a direct shot at the coach. Which is the
it's
guy
a direct
who said it.
Shot at himself. So he wants to talk about one-score games. Let's talk about one-score games. Why do they have all these one-score losses? Who do you blame for all the one-score losses? Keith and I both think it's Jerod Mayo, oddly enough.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the one who brought it up. Who do we blame for that? 617-779-7937. And do you feel any better about some of these one-score losses or the season and how it's gone, rather, based on these one-score losses? After Mayo, Keith, who would be next on your list?
DeMarcus Covington.
Even higher than Wolf, because I might lean. I know it's not a coach.
Oh, yeah, so Wolf, I mean, big picture, Wolf. Wolf for sure. I mean, the roster going into the year just wasn't good enough. That's why I don't think even the most glass-overflowing Patriots fan had to be thinking maybe 6 wins, and that's if you get the bounce to go your way in all these games that we were just talking about. The offensive line was a mess. You didn't really address it in the draft. You didn't really address it in trades or free agency, and you just brought back Mike Onwenu, you moved him to a few different spots, and you've had 1,000 different line combinations. The wide receivers weren't good enough. You at least took 2 stabs in the draft, but you missed on those guys.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, Elliott Wolf, I guess, over Covington. But then I would have to put Covington up there because you basically swapped out the Belichicks, father and son Belichick, for an elevated role of Mayo and Covington. And yes, you've had players miss time, but you've had enough players out there to be better than this. They should be better defense. I'm not saying they're a top 5 defense.
No.
I think that was like Mina Kimes' take before the year began.
That was her take before the year. People are sleeping on the Patriots because they're a top 5 defense. I would say
keep sleeping.
Take an L on that one.
Keep sleeping on that defense.
Yeah.
But they should be better than this. Like, you shouldn't have so many guys having career games against the Patriots. So that's another guy where you're like, all right, you need to figure it out. You know, that defense has, I don't even think we were looking for a massive upgrade. You're looking for, like, just no drop-off. Like, all right, just take last year's defense, get a better offense, and let's see where that goes. But the defense has dropped off, and so you got to point to both of those guys.
So, yeah, I mean, Wolf needs to be on the list. Covington needs to be on the list. Alex Van Pelt is lower on the list.
Out of those four, I think he's fourth.
I hated his game on Sunday.
Yeah, I know,
hated
fair.
It. It's part of why I wanted to talk to him today. But again, no Alex Van Pelt today.
No.
On what's basically a Patriots Friday on a Tuesday, if that makes any sense.
Huh?
Patriots bye week here on Jones and Keefe on WEEI. Just responding to something in the Twitch chat, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Dubs985 says, name one good move that Wolf has made aside from Drake May.
Oh, I thought of one, actually, the other day.
It's Judon.
Oh, trading Judon?
I mean, that was a good trade. Judon's done nothing. They got a third-rounder for him. It was good value. So
maybe look, I'm just living in the moment right
Elliot,
now.
Elliot Wolf is not a good GM. No one's saying he's a good, but I've heard that a lot. Like, name one good thing he's done. That. I mean, the Judon trade was a good
Judon
trade.
Oh, Judon blows this year, too, right? He sucks, I
he's
think.
Done,
Austin Hooper's pretty good.
I was going to say, Austin Hooper actually is on a little bit of a heater.
Oh, that's...
Hoop?
We're adding that.
Sure.
Because now we're now I do feel
I mean,
like we're scraping...
the bar is, Jones?
I feel Austin like we're scraping
Hooper.
The bottom of the barrel a little bit on
you
Austin
don't like
Hooper.
Hoop?
I don't love him.
Hoop's been nice.
But, no, the Judon trade was a good move. So, Elliot Wolf stinks. Terrible GM.
Yep.
Doesn't need to be back next year. But the idea that he's done nothing outside of Drake May is a touch strong.
Matt Judon does have... 2.5 sacks.
He got another one?
I think he had a sack in the first
game.
He had
a sack against Denver.
Like right away, right?
Oh, yeah. When was that game?
I feel like I came in crowing after week one, like, look at this. And I hated the Judon trade when they made it. I was wrong.
Yeah.
That was a good trade. That was good value.
Yeah, that was 2 weeks ago against Denver. I think he had came up with a sack.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well,
nothing on Sunday against the Chargers. But, yeah, that was good. No, it's really been pretty bad. I know Gibson and Hooper are the touchdowns. Those are new guys. But,
I don't mean to go to bat for the guy. I just saying he's done nothing else outside of May. And I really don't even give him that much credit for May. I think I was more ownership than him.
Right.
But the Judon trade was a good one. I'll give him that. But he stinks. And this
stinks.
Whole thing has stunk. They're terrible in one-score games. Who do you blame for that? 617-779-7937. Gerard Mayo wanted to talk about it, so let's talk about it. My guess is Bill Belichick would blame Gerard Mayo.
Hmm.
You'll hear some of Bill's criticisms coming up on a Tier Tuesday, a Tom E. Tuesday, Kiefer Madness on a Tuesday, and, of course, a D'Angelo Tuesday here on Jones and Keith. Billy Lanny with all the latest in trending. And when we come back, we'll get to your thoughts on these one-score losses along with Bill Belichick ripping the Patriots. That's next.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending is brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. The Boston Celtics got right back in the win column with last night's 108-90-89 victory over the Miami Heat. Jaylen Brown led all scorers with 29 points. Peyton Pritchard scored 25 points off the bench, and Jason Tatum finished the night with a double-double. Tatum scored 18 points and had 11 rebounds. Celtics homestand continues tomorrow night when the Seas host the Detroit Pistons. Tonight, the Boston Bruins host the Detroit Red Wings. Puck drop the TD Garden is at 7 o'clock. The New England Patriots will be on the practice field today at 11:55. It's the only practice this week before the players enter their bye week. On Monday Night Football, the Denver Broncos defeated the Cleveland Browns 41-32. And Houston Texans linebacker Azeez Al-Shaahir has been suspended for 3 games for his illegal hit on Jacksonville Jaguars quarterback Trevor Lawrence. According to Adam Schefter, Al-Shaahir will appeal the suspension. Did you know Awaken 180 is an approved expense for both HSA and FSA accounts? Reserve your consultation for December, and you decide the start date, now or on day one of the new year, online at awaken180weightloss.com. I'm Billy Lanny. That's what's trending now on WEEI, WEEI.com.
This is Jones and Keefe
on WEEI.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app.
And take Boston Sports Original
everywhere you go.
Bill Belichick on the Let's Go podcast with Jim Gray. Second time this year we've heard him say he feels sorry for the guys on defense.
Yeah. Yep. We made that pretty clear.
Which, he was a very touchy-feely guy when he was here. Always very
very emotional,
with his emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Feels for the guys on defense. Interesting from Bill Belichick. Some pointed criticism there of the Patriots coaching staff. We'll get into it on Jones and Keith on WEEI Tier Tuesday, Tommy Tuesday. We'll get to Kiefer Madness at 12:45. But joining us right now on what's effectively a Patriots Friday on a Tuesday, it's the bye week, is Patriots defensive lineman Dietrich Wise. He's brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh. Dietrich, how are we doing this week?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you doing?
Oh, we're doing
well.
Great. We know you always have questions for us. We'll get to those a little later on in the interview. But I wanted to start with a question for you about what we just played from Bill Belichick. That's the second time this year in one of his many media outlets that he said he feels sorry for you guys on defense or feels for you guys on defense. I was just curious if you had any reaction to that from Bill.
No, no reaction. I feel like he's expressing how he feels about certain situations, and that's how he feels.
How do you feel, Dietrich, about the defense? You know, you guys were obviously in this game, 1-point defeat, and it was just that last drive where the Colts were able to put an 80-yard drive together and convert on 3 fourth downs as well as getting the 2-point conversion. So just, take us through that drive and how you guys feel after that.
Yeah, definitely wanted to get off the field. I had the opportunity to get off the field. Should have got off the field. So we know where we went wrong during the game, and it's up to us to change it.
You said you know where you went wrong. Where'd you go wrong specifically? I mean, I know you want to get off the field, but where specifically?
Yeah, on that last. When you have a team in third down, the main thing is to stop them. Whatever the two or three third downs that they converted, it was many different things that we needed to do and didn't. So our main thing, I know I'm sorry, I'm redundant here, was three and outs on our last drive. The best thing we should have did was three and outs. The second best thing is to not let them score. So,
you know, we talked to you prior to playing against Anthony Richardson, one of the bigger, stronger quarterbacks in the league. What were the challenges going up against a guy that big, that fast?
He does it, like I said earlier, he does a great job getting the ball out, getting the ball to his receivers, throwing the ball. And then if that's ever taken away or he feels like he needs to put a game in his hands, he has the ability to run. And we knew that going into the game, and that was one of our focus points.
Talking to Patriots defensive lineman Dietrich Wise, who joins us here on Jones and Keefe on WEEI. I'm sure you've seen the hit on Trevor Lawrence by now. Azeez Al-Shaair suspended 3 games by the NFL. How do you balance that when you're going against quarterbacks, like you mentioned, Anthony Richardson, these big, physical, athletic specimens? How do you balance going for the hit when a guy's sliding versus, you know, leaning out on a play where now quarterbacks can tend to take advantage of that on the sideline or kind of fake going down? Like, how do you balance playing on edge but also being disciplined to avoid injuring a quarterback like that?
Most definitely. To be transparent, I have not seen the play.
Okay.
I usually don't really watch a lot of football after the game. Kind of just send myself and my family, so I didn't get to see anything after our game. So just to put that on the record, second, with that being said, I know quarterback slot is a very tough split decision sometimes. It's been multiple times I've seen quarterback slide and they have that halo, which if you touch them, it's a flag. I've seen other quarterbacks slide and you hit them and we get up and we just keep on moving. It's a very gray area. We know we're not supposed to, but at the heat of the moment, like I said, I did not see the play. So I'm only talking about plays outside of that play because I did not see that play. So I'm letting you know once again. But it's a very gray area sometimes when the quarterback slides. So you just have to be very careful when you're approaching a quarterback and trying to gauge it. And it's just one of those tough situations. Some quarterbacks slide late, some quarterbacks slide early. It's all about, like, just that split decision, what you're going to do.
Do you guys feel like you tackle enough in practices?
No, you don't really tackle in practice. It's all, like, hitting the bags, hitting the dummies. Definitely as D-linemen, we're the only position on the field, in my opinion, that doesn't complete their job. We hit the guys, we make our moves, we share blocks, but we never tackle. We never finish on the ground. So that's one thing that as D linemen, we always have to make sure that when we do tackling drills, we make sure that we hone in on them, whether it's bag work, whether it's just digitizing the tackle, whatever it is.
How challenging is that? I mean, I know, you know, player safety is very important and it's a long season and they keep adding games to it. So, you know, I'm not saying everybody should be smashing into each other all week in practice, but if you go all week and you're not really doing it and then come game day, you guys are all expected to, you know, make every tackle, make tackles cleanly. It just seems like the less padded practice has got to be more difficult for the defense, certainly, than the offense.
Less padded practice, more difficult. I don't think that really plays a factor into it, having more or less padded practices. I think padded practices help you get the rhythm, the feel for the game. But as far as on the field, I don't really understand your question. I'm sorry.
No,
just
I
make
just
sure
was...
I'm hearing you correctly.
I'm just wondering if, you know, not being able to tackle or have a lot of contact during practices, And then come game day, does that sort of maybe explain why, you know, there are missed tackles or there are penalties because, you know, people don't have the technique down, all that kind of thing?
It's a two-sided conversation. Guys are really good avoiding tackles, and then other guys are either really good at making tackles or not good at making tackles. Tackling come down techniques and fundamentals, honestly. Squaring a guy up, shuffling in, making a hit, wrapping up, grabbing cloth, grabbing legs, and that's pretty much it.
I guess I shouldn't make the same mistake I assumed earlier that you had seen the Lawrence hit. I don't know if you saw what went down at Michigan and Ohio State after the game, but I'll catch you up to speed. Michigan wins the game. You did see that?
I did not see that.
Oh, you did not see that one. I'm sorry. Okay, so what happened is Michigan planted a flag at midfield after beating Ohio State in a rivalry game. You went to Arkansas. LSU, I think, is your big rival. How would you handle, I don't know, LSU coming out and planting their flag at midfield?
Who won? I'm sorry.
The game was in Ohio State. Yeah. They were big favorites. Michigan won the game, and then Michigan took a Michigan flag, planted it at the 50-yard line to celebrate.
Oh, wow.
And then Ohio State players started fighting them.
Yeah,
there were
disrespectful.
Fans. There were like security. Yeah, it was a whole thing.
Yeah, that's tough. That's a real tough decision. First of all, the game is over. If you want to do all the fighting, you should have done it during the game. Have the energy towards winning the game. Second of all, I can see both sides. Ohio think it's disrespect. And at the end of the day, if you want to get back at them, work super hard next year to beat them. Make sure they never do it again. Use this fuel. That's what I would say, my guys.
You know, after today,
what you want, what you don't want, yeah, huh?
Go ahead. Yeah, sorry.
No, go ahead. What are you saying?
I was just gonna say, you guys get the bye week coming up, so after today, you'll have some time off. You got any plans for the week?
A bunch of R&R, three R's: rest, recovery, and reflection. That's it.
Okay. I know you usually like to put us on the spot. You like to reverse roles here.
Sure.
So, you got any questions for us before you hit the bye week?
Yeah, that's a good question. Who do you think is going to win between Texas and Georgia?
Oh,
Texas,
Georgia.
Whoa.
And why? Why?
I don't know. I just
think Georgia's overrated.
I went the opposite of Keith. That's all. That's my instinct, Dietrich, is just to disagree with him. That's all.
I don't know. I thought Georgia has been kind of down this year. They went to 8 overtimes against Georgia Tech, so I'll take Texas.
Ooh. Didn't Georgia beat Texas earlier this season?
Did that?
Oh, that's a thumbs up. That's a thumbs up back there from Nick.
All right.
Honestly, you stumped us on that one. Did that happen?
I don't know. Hey, I guess so.
Yeah. So, I mean, even though they went 8 overtimes with the team they know, you think the team they don't know, they already beat them once. You think they can do it again?
Yeah, Keith.
Or you think Texas?
Yeah, Keith.
Sounds like
Dietrich is with me.
I'm taking Texas.
Yeah, in your face.
That's fine.
I'm just asking questions here. I'm on the other side of the phone now.
Right? It's nice to be in charge of the questions, isn't it? It's nice to run the interview.
Yeah.
You don't really have to be put on the spot. It is nice to do that.
Yeah.
All right, well, Dietrich, we appreciate it.
Now I know Keith says Texas.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Jones is going Georgia.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah, we'll
Georgia.
Yeah, I'm going to plant the flag at midfield after the game. Well, Dietrich, we always appreciate the time. Thank you so much.
No problem. Y'all have a great one.
All right, you too.
Dietrich Wise of the Patriots joins us here on what's effectively a Patriots Friday.
Yeah.
On a Tuesday, Patriots hitting the bye week. So there you go. You got Texas in that one, Keith.
They did that. So that was their lone loss this year.
Big Longhorn
Texas
guy.
Texas only lost once.
At home to Georgia, yeah. It wasn't competitive at all.
Big Longhorn guy.
No, I've liked Texas this year. I have.
I bet A&M over the weekend, and it didn't go so hot. I got kind of robbed on a backdoor cover in that game. If we're being honest, they're at the one; they didn't run it in. The last bet I probably won was.
Let me look this up. September 7th, when Texas beat Michigan. That was back at Michigan when Michigan was ranked 10th.
Yeah,
I could smell them. I'm like, this is not a good team. I think that was the last bet I won, though. So
nice.
Take that into account.
Do you think Dietrich is going to watch that game, or do you think we're going to have to tell him what happened in it after the
Probably
fact?
Probably tell him.
We'll catch him up to speed on what happened in that game.
That might not be a bad feature, is we just sort of recap events to Dietrich Wise.
Like world events?
Anything. I can explain to him like the last movie I saw, just like start to finish. Then Jones can tell him about like a game that just happened.
Yeah.
You see the Celtics last night? He's like, no. I'm like, well, all right, sit down. Peyton Pritchard was on fire, Deidre. She says you should have seen it. That's fine. He doesn't.
Peyton Pritchard.
He doesn't need to watch sports.
Look, the guy's got stuff going on. That's okay.
Where my practice
RRR.
Now
rest, recovery, reflection.
I have the four R's.
Oh,
rest, recovery, reflection, rum, dark rum, spiced rum, whatever nice. It might be. Were my practice questions really bad? Be honest. Were they bad?
No, I understood it.
He was super confused by them.
I
wasn't trying to stump him.
No, I think he just... my read on that was he got a little worried about sounding like he was making too much of an excuse.
Oh, and I'm not.
And maybe,
I'm that's more around the league. That's more of a general thing. Like, every week you see bad tackling. That wasn't even a direct Patriot shot. And maybe he didn't want it to be an excuse, but think about that. If you don't do something all week long...
Yeah.
And then you're expected to do it at the highest level on Sunday, and then you don't. Like, oh, come on, do better at tackling. We're not going to do it again until next Sunday, but like, I don't know. I feel like that'd be difficult for those guys.
Right.
But,
you're
right. You don't want to make an excuse.
You sit here silently, no takes all week, and then you got to do it every Sunday?
Just the hottest take possible on Sunday.
Yeah, just once
can I polish
a week?
Off some takes? No. You can't.
Ease my way in.
Yep.
Think, work my way through, workshop some takes.
Yep, dip your toe in.
Yeah,
to a take.
You can't just jump right in on a Sunday.
I got it.
So there you go. That's Deidre Wise. If you missed any of that, Audacy app, AUDACY. He always likes to put us on the spot with a question there at the end.
Oh, yeah.
A bit of a curveball. But we pick sides now. Keith's a Longhorn. I'm a Bulldog. Rooting interest.
Hook 'em horns.
Yeah.
Me and Matthew McConaughey.
You can choose your sides accordingly. Let's get into Monday Night Football from last night. Why does Bo Nix keep winning games? It's a rookie quarterback. Winning games right away in the NFL. While the Patriots rookie, who looks great, Drake May, continues to lose. We'll get into it next.